Welcome to the Climate Report on WFMP FM Louisville. This is Hart Hagen, your host, and we are on episode number 112. Today's topic is petrochemicals in our backyard, part two, with Dustin White of OVEC. OVEC is Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition. We'll be talking about petrochemicals in our backyard, part two, with Dustin White in a few minutes, but first, here's what the climate report is all about. So we're facing five separate and distinct threats to our very existence. And in order for us to survive and thrive and prosper, because we don't want to just barely survive, we want to thrive and prosper. In order for us to do that, we have to change these threats to our existence. And in order to do that, we must absolutely change the structures of power. We must understand the structures of power. We, the people, need to understand how power works. We, the people, need to understand who has power. We, the people, need to understand why they have power. We, the people, need to understand how they wield power. And we, the people, need to understand how to take power from those who have it. We, the people, need to understand how to peacefully, nonviolently change our economic system. We, the people, need to understand how to peacefully, nonviolently change our political system. Because the thing is, it is just flat out of control. It's out of control, as evidenced by the petrochemical plants that some people want to put into our Ohio Valley. That's why we bring you part two of our conversation with Dustin White of OVEC, Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition. We'll begin part two of this conversation in 3, 2, 1, now. Tell me about the hub in terms of where we are in the way that thing is unfolding. How much has already been done and how much is proposed, and what time frames are we looking at?
Luckily, we are, I shouldn't say luckily, but we are still in some of the very early stages of seeing this infrastructure go into place. Now, we have found out, they've been planning this for over a decade now. So when they first moved in here and told us that they were going to do all this fracking for cleaner burning fuels and power plants, this petrochemical complex was actually their real intention. So they've been planning this from day one. And what we're seeing already when it first hit kind of nationally was this $83.7 billion memorandum of understanding with China Chemical to build a lot of this infrastructure. And that's when it really started to open up people's eyes that something seems kind of fishy here. And this is a memorandum of understanding that is still refused to be released to the public. So we don't know what that thing says. And also, it's just a memorandum of understanding, so it's not a contract of any sort. And there's been some back and forth. Well, does the trade war with China have any impact on this hub? Yada, yada, yada. But what we're seeing, though, is these companies still have their own investors. So they still want to move forward with these projects. So they have already begun construction of the Shell ethane cracker plant in Monaca, Pennsylvania. This is a massive ethane cracker plant, which is where they take the ethane and turn it into ethylene, which is the basic building blocks of the plastic. And this thing, again, is massive. It's 3 miles long, and it sits right in the middle of this community right across the river from Beaver, Pennsylvania, right on the outskirts of Monaca city limits. So as we move down the river, another ethane cracker plant is planned for Dilley's Bottom in Belmont County, Ohio. And again, this sits right on the Ohio River. So does the Shell cracker plant. It sits right across from Moundsville and Wheeling, West Virginia. So those two communities, along with Shadyside, Ohio, are going to get the most impact from the air pollution from that cracker plant. PTT Global has already received their permits, but they have yet to make a financial decision. So we're watching that. And we're seeing a lot of folks in that area really getting geared up to fight this thing once they figured out that this thing is not what they're saying that it's going to be. It's not going to be this economic prosperity thing. And then there's up to two or three more ethane cracker plants planned for the Ohio River Valley, including one in Parkersburg, and I mentioned earlier one in Catlettsburg, Kentucky. And then there's also other components. I have a methanol cracker plant that is going in 5 miles from my house currently, which is a lesser known type of cracker plant where they can actually take the methane gas and turn it into methanol, which is also used in petrochemicals and plastic. And then there's a lot that's still proposed, like the underground storage. And included will be this whole massive network of pipelines that carry the liquids. So we already hear a lot of the troubles about the methane pipelines and things like that. These petrochemical industry is going to have its own set of pipelines that are going to go in place, and then all the other refineries that are going to pop up and down the valleys too. So it's a long, expansive thing. There's a lot of engineering that takes place in it, and that's basically where we're at now. It's the Shell ethane cracker plant and the PTT Global ethane cracker plant are the kind of the first two on the board. And if they are allowed to get those up and running, then we'll just see, like dominoes, the rest of them will probably fall into place. But it's still very early on, and a lot of these projects are still proposed. So there's a lot of opportunity for folks to fight back. And another aspect of this that I haven't mentioned yet is the Ohio River is the drinking water source of over 5 million people. And all of this infrastructure is going in upstream of a lot of those drinking water intakes. And I can speak from firsthand experience what it's like when a petrochemical gets into your water system, and it's no fun. I am a survivor, for lack of a better word, of probably one of the worst chemical disasters this side of the new millennium that happened right here in West Virginia when a petrochemical known as methyl cyclohexane methanol, or MCHM, burst from its holding tank 1 mile above the public water intake in Charleston and impacted 300,000 residents in 9 counties in West Virginia, including my own father, who at the time was dealing with terminal cancer. So he spent the last weeks of his life without access to clean water. Here was a man who was a Vietnam veteran and a retired coal miner who spent some of the last weeks of his life without access to water. And I can attest that, you know, other than the health impacts, which we still don't know, methyl cyclohexane methanol was one of those chemicals we knew absolutely nothing about. There was a large economic issue with this because we were without water for weeks. So a lot of businesses had to shut down for weeks, and a lot of businesses left because of this. And there are still people today who do not trust the water and have turned to drinking bottled water. So it's a really bad stew pot of issues that they have going on here in Central Appalachia, and this petrochemical complex is just basically the nail in the coffin.
Yeah, what you were talking about, insult to injury. For one thing, you lost your father, whose demise might have been hastened by not having water, not having clean water. His cancer was likely caused by his work environment. Am I right about that?
Absolutely. It was bladder cancer, and that is one of the top cancers that have been connected with environmental issues.
So you lost your father, and then they have all these, they're wanting to come in and do more of the same, and not just endanger the people of West Virginia, but everybody downriver.
Exactly. And it even, the arguments even, it's not just impacting communities too, it's going to be impacting the workers too. We're going to see what few jobs go to the local folks are going to be the lower paying, bottom rung jobs where they are going to have to internalize the health and safety costs of this business. And again, aside from the pollution, this is very volatile materials that they're going to be dealing with. So there's also the chance of explosions and things like that happening. And that's all going to be on what few local folks that they probably hire to do those jobs. And we've seen that again historically with things like the coal industry where black lung, and we're seeing now in 2019, there has been a resurgence of black lung, especially since a lot of regulations have started to be cut. We're seeing this resurgence of black lung. So it's going to affect people who work for these industries. It's going to affect the communities who are right by these industries, and it's going to affect people who are downstream and within airshot of these facilities too, because there's a chance it's going to get into the water and they're going to be breathing it in the air. So depending on where the air flows, people are going to be impacted.
Right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the recent changes in regulations. I'm the last to say that Trump is the problem. I think Trump is a symptom of the problem. I think both Democrats and Republicans don't do nearly enough to protect us. But can you talk a little bit about the changes in regulations, some of them, of the changes in regulations that have come about in the Trump administration?
Yeah, so the list goes on and on with what he has either already removed or has attempted to remove or has proposed to remove. We have seen him attack methane emissions, rules on that, the stream protection. When it came to mining, that was one of the first ones he destroyed. Folks from Appalachia spent over 10 years going to these federal agencies, the EPA, the Army Corps of Engineers, the Department of Interior, to develop this stream protection rule. And within the first few months in office, Trump just signed it away with a stroke of a pen.
So, and this is all done, you know, the rhetoric that goes along with this is we have to lighten up the regulations so that business can thrive and so we can have a strong economy. What's wrong with that reasoning?
Yeah, it's... What we see is absolutely the opposite effect, especially as it relates to fossil fuels. And for one, we know that more regulations actually generate more jobs because you have to have more people on the job making sure that regulations are followed.
Yeah.
So whenever you're stripping regulations, you're actually killing jobs.
Right.
And then you look at, you know, people don't want to move into areas where this infrastructure exists. So, you know, nobody is going to want to move into the Ohio River Valley with petrochemical facilities, you know, right at their back door. And again, all of what I'm saying, we know, we have evidence that it's proven. We just have to look at what's known as Cancer Alley in Louisiana, where some of the most economically poor communities and most sick communities are right there along this massive petrochemical corridor that they have in Louisiana. So we know that this can happen.
Yeah, if you want a good economy, you have to invest in people. You have to protect people. I mean, there's no good economy that's going to come out of a situation where people are sick, they're disenfranchised, their air is polluted, their water is polluted, right?
Exactly. And as you mentioned before, this is not just, you know, a one-party issue. We have saw politicians on both sides of the aisle championing these things, right down to Senator Joe Manchin, who's a Democrat, a well-known Democrat from West Virginia. You know, he's championed this thing. And he has historically always favored industry, going right back to mountaintop removal and things like that. So he has always worked to try to dismantle regulations and give these companies a green light to work. And we see that throughout the other states too, where all of this extraction happens, whether it's here in the Central Appalachian region or again, like down in the Gulf, other areas like that. And I bring up the Gulf a lot to try to, you know, let folks realize this is not just a NIMBY issue either. You know, what is happening here has national and global ramifications. And there's folks down in the Gulf who have already been dealing with this for decades. They know what it's like. They've lived with it for too long. We have to say, you know, no Cancer Valley and stop Cancer Alley. I mean, it's not an either or question. What we do now in stopping the petrochemical complex in Appalachia is going to have ramifications down into the Gulf, and we have to continue to stand with folks in the Gulf who, like I said, have already been dealing with this for way too long.
You mentioned mountaintop removal. Tell about when you saw the mountain blown up and how it, affected your ancestors' graves. Tell me that story.
Yeah. So when I first saw mountaintop removal, it was just, I had grown up hearing about, and of course the industry likes to reframe these issues. So we typically heard about it as strip mining. So in my head, I always pictured maybe just a couple of acres, not that big of a deal. And then to really see it and see it from the air and to see the full scale of this, you're not talking about these small sporadic areas. You're talking about mountain after mountain after mountain that has been decimated. And some of these mine sites are massive, like the Hobet 21 mine site. Is large enough to fit 75% of the city of Manhattan inside of. So that's...
Why don't you see this stuff on the news?
Well, again, it's kind of follow the money. A lot of these companies and their PR campaigns and things like that do really good about trying to keep this stuff out of the news. And there's also a lot of brainwashing, so to speak, where there's a lot of folks who involve themselves in these industries who think that it's their duty to do these things, to destroy their homes, to poison themselves for the good of, quote, the country. So that's generally why it's left out of the media. And then looking at areas like Appalachia and the Gulf, where people are often marginalized and are seen as disposable, just really gives these companies a green light again to just do whatever they want to the people. Because as long as the rest of the nation sees us as disposable, that's exactly what we're going to be. We're going to be sacrificed for their comfort.
Well, let me run an idea by you that I talk about a lot on this show, and that is, well, a couple of things. One is our media is not a free press. You know, free press is for people who own one, and the media is owned more and more importantly sponsored by these big companies. So if you see an ad for Shell, Shell is one of the companies building this petrochemical hub. So if you see an ad on MSNBC or CNN for Shell, what they're buying, they're not selling product, they're buying silence.
Exactly. Yes. And that relates so much either on the national level and all the way right down to the local levels, where again, these companies will ingrain themselves into our school systems even, to give money to schools to teach pro-industry lesson plans, to really start indoctrinating children from day one to they think that all of this stuff is okay. And I was one of those children. Again, I grew up being very pro-coal because I heard about it in school. We would have these coal career days and things like that where, you know, they'd bring in all these big equipment and show us children. And when you're a little kid, it's like, oh, wow, look at that cool machine. And then go into the coal mines like your daddy and granddaddy did. It's a family tradition, yada, yada, yada. So, yeah, it's every aspect of our lives, from the media to the school systems to the political system, they have essentially bought silence. Even right down to the fact that a lot of these hospitals and things in these areas won't speak openly about the health impacts because they don't want to have the ramifications of that. So, you know, while nationally we're seeing the influence of money, we often get other things like intimidation and stuff like that on the ground in the local areas where these operations happen. So it's all about keeping quiet, you know, move along. There's nothing to see here.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me run something else by you. I was kind of like a free market conservative for most of my life because I had bought into the propaganda. But one thing that I believe now is that large amounts of money are simply dangerous. You know, money is power. And when you concentrate a lot of money in a very few hands, then that it's just used to destroy people's lives. A large corporation is a vehicle for that. The bare essence of a corporation is you put money in and you get money out. And the more money you have to put in, the more you can get out. And this is used to, I have a special interest in Latin America, and I think there are a lot of parallels between what the United States has done to Latin America and what the United States has done in Appalachia. If you have enough money, you can buy the right to destroy communities, destroy people's lives, destroy the air, destroy the water, destroy the climate. And people talk about campaign finance reform, and no, that is a step in the right direction. But as long as there's so much money concentrated in so few hands, people are going to figure out a way to do damage with it.
Yeah, I would say you're absolutely right with that. And that's, again, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's the same thing that happens here. It's we have these few wealthy telling us what's best for us and doing whatever they want to us.
Well, Dustin, we have a few more minutes. I would like for you to share with our listeners, how can Kentuckians help people in West Virginia? What can we do to oppose the petrochemical hubs? And not least of all, how can we contact OVEC? How can we help OVEC? If people decided to make a contribution, how would they do that? And, what has OVEC got going on that we can help with?
Sure. So first of all, again, Kentucky is downstream of all of this. There's a lot of communities, I think even including the city of Louisville, get their drinking water from the Ohio River. So Kentucky's downstream to this too, so they should be very concerned. They should be in the position to really start saying no to this, especially if they build the final ethane cracker plant in Catlettsburg, Kentucky. So they're going to have pieces of this infrastructure inside their own state as well. So they could do things like begin trying to get resolutions, whether it's county resolutions or city resolutions or whatever, to ban things like single-use plastics or to make sure that there are stronger water quality standards. And that's kind of some of the first things. And just educate yourself. Realize, a lot of the things you do in your everyday life are really what is propping up a lot of these companies to do what they do. And they depend on us putting on those blinders and saying, well, there's nothing we can do about it, so we might as well continue business as normal. They depend on that to stay in existence, where if people start coming together and start saying, hey, no, we don't want these new plastics, we don't want these petrochemicals coming downstream to us, and start making these resolutions and things like that to really stand in opposition, that really tells them, these companies, that they're not welcome. And that's part of the issue here, is our politicians tend to open up with welcoming arms and try and get them in. But if people start fighting back, they can be shot down. You can start letter writing campaigns again, with the Catlettsburg cracker plant. It's really just proposed. We don't know what company might be investing in that or anything. But you can start letter writing campaign already to the governor and say, hey, we do not want any of this petrochemical infrastructure in our state. And also, get involved with local groups. OVEC is a grassroots group. We've been in existence for over 30 years now in Huntington. So we are literally across the river from Kentucky. One of our staff members is from Kentucky. And, we don't focus primarily in just West Virginia. There are sometimes we overlap with the other states. So we are currently working to build a regional coalition to fight this petrochemical complex. And we're starting to see some folks from Kentucky take notice, but we would love to have more so that we, turn this into especially a four-state coalition rather than just Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Ohio right now. So that's another way you can get engaged. And OVEC, again, is just a grassroots organization. So we really depend on donations and memberships to keep an operation and to keep fighting these things. We're kind of one of the groups that are really the boots on the ground. We're the ones going into these neighborhoods and talking to people and educating them. And we can't do that without help. I wish we could have the money that these multi-billion dollar companies had, or we could do a lot more. So there's the opportunity. Folks can join either a local grassroots group that you know of that might be fighting these issues, or join OVEC. And our website is www.ohvec.org. And if you want more information on the Appalachian Petrochemical Hub, you can go to www.ohbec.org/NOASH, and that's Appalachian Storage Hub, ASH. That is a page where we have been trying to capture a lot of the information, and we do look at the Petrochemical Hub as a whole big entity, and trying to be allies as much as possible with folks in the different areas that are fighting the individual infrastructures. So yeah, just get involved, get active, educate your neighbors, try to make the changes in your life. There's another saying that I definitely try to go by as much as possible. And again, it is hard in modern society to do these things, but just live simply so that others can simply live.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with that more. I used to not even know what that meant. But when you learn how that people all over the world, including in the United States of America, people suffer because of some people's desire to have more, 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 not least of all in this, you know, toxic proposal and all the toxic pollution that occurs because of what you're describing. Dustin, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you'll come back soon. We need to stay on top of this, and we'll be exploring ways that we in Kentucky can work together with OVEC.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. And if folks want more information, again, it's a very complex issue. Find us online. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. You can go straight to our website, or they can even email me directly at dustin@ohbec.org. And we will gladly try to find some way to get them plugged in.
Sounds great, Dustin. Thanks so much. Have a great day. Hope you come back soon.
Thanks. Sure will. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye. So I've got a couple of minutes to summarize and give you something to think about. So the fossil fuel industry is big, it's complex, and it's very powerful, and it needs to go away. The petrochemical hub we've been talking about is a byproduct of drilling for more oil and natural gas in the process of fracking. But it all needs to go away. Hashtag keep it in the ground. So we the people need to organize, educate, and agitate. We the people need to do what we can at the grassroots level. Not least of all, we need to be informed. Because one of the main weapons that they have, one of the main strengths that they have against us, is that they know what's going on and we don't. They have lots of money, they know how to buy politicians. But if there's one thing politicians need more than money, and that is votes. But even beyond the voting booth, we need to be able to draw a line around our county and say, this is our county, and we determine who and what does business here. We need that local economic sovereignty. We need to be able to determine what businesses we can have in our county and which ones we will not allow. But these fossil fuel companies, whether it's oil, whether it's coal, whether it's natural gas, whether it's fracking, whether it's petrochemical, they are bad news. They are not about jobs. They are only about profits. But we need to work together on this, and I invite you to contact OVEC. That's Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition, OHVEC.org. Thanks very much. Have a great day. Hope you come back soon.